I'm Barry Worthington.
I'm Charlie Keegan.
I'm Paul Thorpe.
And I'm Pete Rees.
And this is the Progress of Unity podcast. First things first, happy birthday, Adam. He's not with us tonight. He's out dining with mother and father. Anyway, happy birthday, Adam. I hope you've had a good day at work.
Happy birthday, Adam.
Yeah, happy birthday, Adam.
Some news coming out of the club this week. Barbara Zico, contract extension until 2027. He's already been at the club 7 years, so sticking another three on top of that, he'll be due a testimonial. He'll only be 22.
Fantastic news, isn't it? It's, considering we've heard one or two negative things recently that may or may not be true about recruitment or budgets and goodness knows what, I think the fact that the club are very determined to maintain the stay of and extend the stay of so many of the young players, I think it's fantastic news for us.
There's two ways to look at it, isn't there? You can either look at it with your head screwed on, or you can look at it with your grumpy head screwed on. And as you know, I've seen people saying that, oh yeah, they're only renewing the young players because they're the ones that are cheap, and they're cheap, this ownership. They're tying down the real assets to the football club and making it sustainable, which is what we all wanted.
Liam Shaw's obviously on a loan, so he's going to be going back. But that means now our three other midfielders, Scotty's down to summer 2025, Matt Smith's until summer 2026, and now Adeko 2027. So we can only really add to that. Obviously, it's been a really good midfield for us this season. I think that maybe another experienced player next season will help them, but it's a good basis. And all across the team now, a lot from our defence through to attack, we've got a lot of academy players on long-term contracts and they all deserve it. And I think they are going to be huge for us next season.
It's not just about keeping our assets and earning money from them. People like Baba and Scott Smith and so on, it means that next season, possibly the season after, we're really going to see the best out of them because they're only going to get better. And I think it's going to be they're already pulling up trees for us. And I think the prospect of them playing even better than this is very, very exciting.
Yeah, and we've got other players on the fringe as well, haven't we? Like players like Joe Adams, who's out at Markham at the moment. We'll talk to about him in a little while when we do our loan watch. Chris C as well, you know, in that sort of attacking midfield area. Obviously, we've got Tello in there as well at 21. I mean, the future's bright, isn't it? It's full of kids. Who was it who said that? George Benson, it was. The children are our future. And he was spot on, weren't he?
Oh,
Lance,
you can't win anything with kids.
Well, he said you can't win anything with kids, but I think George Benson was a great one there.
George Benson also said, in your eyes.
Quick delve into Lone Watch. Tuesday evening, Tom Watson, Ethan Mitchell and Joe Adams all featured. It was all in action. Our loan reporter, Charlie, has got a bit of news on all three of them.
Yeah, well, I actually didn't know Tom Watson had gone out to Oxford City until he'd played his first match and then he got the Man of the Match award and that was obviously being shown. But the first game was a 0-0. Obviously, like I just said, Watson was Man of the Match. I think he made like 7 or 8 saves in that game and they were happy with him, but they are bottom of the National League, and I think they got hit for 5 in the last game, so against Eastleigh, I think it was. So yeah, they've really struggled. They had a bit of a late comeback after 75 minutes, but obviously it's never going to be enough at 5-0. And then AFC Fylde as well. I think when Ethan Mitchell joined them on loan, they were 22nd, and now I think they're up to about 17th. He's only lost one with them, and that was against third-placed Barnet when they lost 4-2 last time out. And then in the most recent game, actually, they played Solihull Moors, and it was a 2-2. And AFC Fylde were 2-0 up, so he seemed to be doing well. He looks like he's playing a bit more of a defensive midfielder role mostly, but I think he's scattered around the pitch at times. And then Joe Adams seems to be pretty much a constant regular in the Morecambe side, but they lost 3-0 against Walsall. But the League Two playoff race, I think there's 3 points separate 7th and 16th, so it's anybody's game, and Morecambe are right in it. I think they're definitely going to try and push into the playoffs. They've been on a really good run. This little blip against Walsall, I wouldn't worry too much about it, but that's going to be an interesting playoff race to watch.
Markham and Barra Hope. Sonny Barra, I don't think it's ever been described as that. Talking about Tom Watson, or Watto, as he's known in the Latics camp, I've watched today a little bit of teammates with him and Luke Chambers. I mean, they grew up together, didn't they, in Charlie? What a watch that is. And I tell you what, if you're a Liverpool head of academy or managing the loan department, you'd think about sending him back here again next season because he's obviously settled and his development is going to be far better with us than any other club, even Liverpool. He's better off stopping.
Oh, he's a Chorley lad, is he?
He is indeed. Both him and Tom Watson are Chorley lads.
It makes sense as well to have us as a sort of a loan club for your teams like Man City and United and Liverpool and Everton, the ones that are close to us. I never understand why they send them so far away, but we're right there. But I remember speaking to a certain board member when he used to be here, and he was saying that we don't try and get these players because we can never guarantee them game time. So it's good to see that our strategy's revamped a little bit and we are giving game time to these players, because I think Liverpool, surely you're going to look at us now as a destination to send players like Chambers, who are younger. And I know they've got a couple younger ones. McDonald is one of them. And it'd be good to get a few of them over at some point.
Just talking on that point, I remember Cameron Brannigan from Liverpool. We lined him up for a loan. I think it was during Gary Caldwell's second season when we got promoted to the Championship. And they wanted us to guarantee him to play every match if he was fit and available. And we wouldn't do that. So they didn't send him. Obviously, you can't. Yeah, can you do that? How can you guarantee somebody's going to play every week?
No, that's ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah, you wouldn't want it anyway. Part of the reason for sending them out on loan is to toughen them up, not to send them on loan with a bloody mollycoddle contract.
Can't do much for team morale, can it? When the rest of the team knows that no matter how hard they try as individuals, somebody else is always going to get a place in the team, no matter how well he's playing. That's don't like that idea at all.
We had that, if you recall, with that goalkeeper from Stoke, Jacob Hogard.
He was here under Joyce, wasn't he? Yeah.
And Graham Barrett took temporary charge of the team. And this Hogard suddenly developed a shoulder injury, which meant he couldn't play. And we put Matt Gilkes back in. Either Graham Barrett nobbled him or there was something else going on. But yeah, because he wasn't very good, was he? I'm not saying he was a bad keeper. Well, I am actually. He was awful. And Matt Gilkes was far better. That's where you end up, like you're saying, you know, you get stuck with if it's in the contract, your manager can't manage to the best of his ability because he's got his hands tied behind his back with his team selection. Big game next week, Bolton Wanderers on Tuesday. I'm only mentioning it now because the tickets are on sale. Got to have previous history with the club of buying match tickets.
What do we think about the prices for Bolton?
Well, 30 quid's far too much, isn't it? It should be 20. 20's plenty. I agree with that statement. 20's plenty. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen this week, Andy Holt, Accrington, a big statement out on, I put it out on Twitter, and it makes great sense. And he's talking about the financial trouble that they have at Accrington, the constraints. He's not prepared to pump all his money in at £1 million a year. So he said ticket prices are going up, beer prices are going up, food prices will be going up. The budget for the team is coming down. And they have to do it because it's the only way to make ends meet. It's worth a read. It makes you think about finances surrounding your football club. I've heard people say, well, we're owned by a billionaire now. Let's have a charge for the Premier League. You shouldn't be doing that, should you? We did this under Dave Whelan, and we've come unstuck in later years as a consequence of that. And I'd hate to think the next generation of fans coming through are going to go through what we've been through with like an administration and then almost losing the club due to that ambition. What can't be backed up endlessly, can it? You know, for a club of our size.
I think it's the actual ticket price. I think for Bolton it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because the club quite clearly need the money, but the individual fans need their money as well. I'm quite sure the club have anticipated that some people are just not going to be able to afford this and are not going to be able to come. But they probably worked it out that by increasing the prices, accepting that some people aren't going to come, they're still going to take more at the gate than they would have done. But it will mean a smaller crowd. And I'm pretty sure £30 a ticket is what some of our neighbours are charging on a regular basis, certainly for bigger games. So we're not an exception. And considering that we were, how long ago is it now since we got in the Premier League? You know, it's best part of 20 years. And £20, £25 were the prices then. It's difficult to argue against it, the putting the prices up, even if we all know that it's going to hit us all in the pocket.
One of the things that supporters are crying out for us to sign certain players up on contracts like Steve Humphries, John Jones, Kerr, etc. But those contracts have got to be paid for. Mm. And you can't pay for them on gate receipts. That money has got to come from somewhere. I think we've got to lower our expectations if we want fair ticket pricing, and I think we do want fair ticket pricing. We want to get people into that ground. I think that's how the club's going to make its money in the long term, isn't it? By getting more supporters in, spending money at the club on merchandise and other stuff, and generating revenue like that.
I think it's good as well that you mentioned Andy Holt, because obviously we know how vocal he is on Twitter, but it just does give that first-hand insight into the brain of somebody who runs a football club. And even if you look at the Sunderland Till I Die Netflix show, as much as it's got so many comedy elements at times because of decisions and things, especially the Will Grigg situation, it is quite funny. But also they do give you the view into what it's like day-to-day running the club, and they're talking about finances and what they've got to cut and the budgets and tickets. So there's so much to it that, like Pete said, it's hard to argue against £30. But on the flip side, we're not a club like Manchester United, where if that seat's not filled, it's not going to get filled by somebody else. That's your seat usually, because we don't have that high turnover of fans. So I hope there's just a bit of a line that's being tread and we don't go too far one way.
Well, I think Dave Whelan realised what a mistake he'd made. Didn't he? The second season in the Premier League, when ticket prices went through the roof, the crowds just dropped off. We struggled to get them back ever since. I think if it held his nerve that season and kept the prices as they were, I think we could have grown, well and truly grown, and increased the fan base. But we're talking about stuff that happened, like you said, Pete, 20 years ago. This is here and now. And like you said, Charlie, I hope this £30 doesn't become a regular thing, because it's going to put a lot of people off. Right then, Friday night football down at the DW. I can't remember the last Friday night game we had, to be honest with you. I know we've had one or two down the years, but I can't remember the last one off the top of my head. So it'll be a little bit strange going down there on a Friday night, but I'm looking forward to it. In the build-up to this game, I managed to speak to a friend of not only our podcast, but Wigan Athletic, and I think all fans of the club realise what he did for us during our time in administration, Murray Toms from Crowdfunder. Let's have a listen to how that interview went. Big game Friday night down at the DW Stadium, Cheltenham Town in town. And very pleased to say we've got Murray Toms here. Always delighted to welcome Murray to the podcast. How are you doing, Murray?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me back on.
I remember when we met you down at your place, Daryl Clark had just come in and you said there was a different vibe around the club. Well, I'll tell you what, there's not half a different vibe around the club. 38% win ratio. What a turnaround under Daryl Clark.
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing short of miraculous. Daryl Clark's very quickly become a club legend. Is already in a matter of months. You know, we now have that belief that we can stay up. I don't think we've been out of the bottom four all season, but there is confidence coursing around Wadham Road that we can now get out of this. We got that one solitary point in the first 11 games. We couldn't score a goal. You know, a lot of people thought we were dead and buried. We obviously made the change. Daryl Clark came in and he has worked with that core group of players and just transformed our fortunes ever since. We're now turning in playoff form. We're very competitive. We're very difficult to beat. And we're just a, you know, a single point off where we were this time last year when we did stay up. And it's amazing. And it's a totally different sort of team right now as to the one you face in November.
Well, that was a tough game in November. I mean, we had a back pass to your keeper from the penalty spot, didn't we? Which would have determined a different result. But apart from that, it was very difficult to break you down. And something I've noticed as well, since the new year especially, your form has been, like you said, playoff standard. You've won your last three games, Port Vale, Blackpool, Cambridge. You've lost by the odd goal to both Bolton, Derby, and also Northampton in their away games. You've beat Pompey 2-1. You've taken 4 points off Pompey this season, haven't you? Fabulous run that you're in at the moment.
It's never boring being a Cheltenham Town supporter, that is for sure. And yeah, since Christmas, it's been a really good ride. There's been some disappointments. Those games you mentioned at Derby and at Bolton, we played those two away in 4 days. We were very, very good on both occasions. I think we probably should have come away with 4 to 6 points, quite honestly. I think there were a couple of iffy referee decisions, one disallowed goal, which I think that the referee apologised for afterwards officially. And then there was a really clear penalty shout at Derby that, you know, things could have been different. So we sort of came away having done enough to win both of those games, but lost. And we sort of felt a bit deflated after that. It's nothing worse than playing really well and not winning anything. But we have put this run together. We've won 3 times in a week now. We're just a point behind Charlton Athletic with Alfie May leading the line. It's been sort of dominated sort of fan discourse the whole season, and now we've put two games in hand on them and just a point behind. It's funny how football works, really. So you know, we will travel on Friday with a lot of confidence, a lot of confidence indeed.
You mentioned Alfie May, though. You've lost Goodwin, who was gone off to Oxford, but you've brought in some new faces as well. Have they settled in?
Really well. So yeah, we received offers. There was a bit of a bidding war for Will Goodwin in the end. He's only been at the club sort of 8 or 9 months. He scored 6 league goals, and Oxford and Charlton sort of went toe-to-toe for his services. He went to Oxford in the end for a reported sort of decent fee. I guess it sort of shows the kind of the value of a striker in January. No sooner had we sold him, we suddenly sort of suffered a couple of injuries in attack. And obviously, our goal scoring record this season hasn't been great. So, yeah, Darryl's had to dip into the market. I think he sent 15 away, and I think he's brought 10 in. And they settled in really well. I mean, he brought Tom Pett in just before Christmas. He was a free agent. They worked together at Port Vale. And he's absolutely fantastic. He's made a real difference in midfield. He's brought Matty Taylor in from Forest Green Rovers. He scored 3 goals in 4 now and is on fire. Liam Kinsella come up from Swindon, a real workhorse in midfield. He's made a real difference. And there's been 4 or 5 other sort of players too that have come in and settled in. And all of a sudden, you know, it does look very promising. But it has been a very busy couple of months. But luckily, we've managed to return a few points at the same time.
Excellent stuff. Yeah, Massatiello, good player, good striker, been around a bit. Was at Bristol Rovers. Right. You mentioned a point behind Charlton with a couple of games in hand, but you're also only 2 points behind Shrewsbury Town with a couple of games in hand. Now, something tells me that you'd love to leapfrog them at some point this season. Are they in your sights?
Well, I think we'd love to leapfrog anybody to get out of the bottom four. And I think as we're playing at the moment, it feels like that won't be too long. But, you know, football does have a tendency to kick you in the teeth. So I won't sort of get too carried away. But sure, at 1 point behind Charlton, who sort of took Alfie May off us in the summer, and Shrewsbury 2 points ahead. And yeah, a few sort of members of staff went across there as well in the summer too. So, it's very interesting how football works out, isn't it? But, you know, we can only worry, sound like a, you know, manager talk, but we can, you know, we've just got to worry about ourselves. We've still got a lot of work to do. You know, the feel-good factor is there, but, you know, we're still in the bottom four. We've got some tough games starting on Friday, so we've just got to worry about that for now. We'll come back to the rest of that in the summer if we're, you know, in the sort of privileged position to be doing that.
Looking at all the permutations, somewhere between 47 and 50 points will keep you safe. You're on 32 and you've got 15 games left. So possibly 15 points a game should do it for you.
Well, I'll take your word for it, Barry. I hope you're right. Everything's crossed.
You're at our place on Friday night, as you've said. You won your last away game. And a little stats jumped out at me today. Back-to-back, longest streaks without league back-to-back wins away from home. And lo and behold, Cheltenham are at the top of this streak with, no, I don't like this. I don't like this at all. You've gone 68 times where you've not managed to put a back-to-back win away from home. Next in line is Sutton, and they've only done it 53 times. So you've got a good lead there. I'm hoping you're going to make it to 69. But also looking at your away form this season, it isn't, without being disrespectful, it isn't the best. 1-3, drawn 2 and lost 10, and you've only scored 9 goals on your travels. Now, with all that in mind, how do you see Friday night going, Murray?
Sounds to me that it's going to be a comfortable 2-0 victory to the Martin Town. It's got a victory. I did not know that stat at all. That is that's absolutely fascinating. And it probably doesn't surprise me. I mean, if we do stay up this year, it will be a club record 4th season in succession in League One. So we really are chasing a historic achievement. We are, you know, at times we've been creaking. We found it incredibly difficult. We went on the longest EFL goalless streak at the start of the season. You know, it's inevitable that we're going to find away games difficult in this division, you know, and we seem to be breaking a lot of unwanted records. So it doesn't surprise me, but you know, what tends to happen with Cheltenham is it always does the opposite of what you think. So Yeah, I think we'll travel in a lot of confidence on Friday. And I think at the very least, you're going to have a very sort of difficult game on your hands.
Are you going for that 2-0 then? Is that your prediction?
I can't remember the last time we won 3 in a row. So to win 4 in a row would be extraordinary. And to do it Wigan would be even more extraordinary. So, why not stick with a 2-0 win against all, against all the odds, which really is what this club is all about, quite frankly.
I wish I'd have seen that stat this morning because we're very good at helping opposition out, whether it be players or teams. Marie, I have to thank you every time you come on our podcast for what went on during the administration season. You're a hero around these parts without any doubt. And I know you're coming up on Friday. I hope you really, really enjoy it, but not too much. I mean, come on, 2-0. We're not having none of that.
We all worked together on that campaign and that was, it was great. And at the time, I never anticipated this kind of friendship would grow, that we would be in the same division. And, back in November, we, sort of met with Jason and Caroline and a lot of the other supporters in before the game and after the, oh no, just before the game on this occasion. But, there's been some really good friendships sort of created out of that sort of sticky situation back then. And I'm really looking forward to Friday. I know I'm going to sort of see a few as well. So, to me, it's great. And, any points would just be an added bonus, quite frankly.
Yeah, I think when you're back to the wall, you really do find out who your friends are. So thank you very much for that. Best of luck for the rest of the season. Hopefully we'll be facing you again next season. I think you've got a fabulous chance. You're the form team down there anyway. So you keep that going and you'll pick that point of game up and you'll be clear.
Like I said, I don't want to count any chickens, but we have been playing very well for a while now. And Daryl Clark really has got the whole club, like top to bottom, absolutely pulling in the same direction. It's phenomenal. It's miraculous, we'll definitely hit some bumps in the road. But I think at the moment we're hard to beat. You don't want to play Cheltenham Town right now. You look at the table, that doesn't make any sense, but it will be difficult. It should be difficult.
See you Friday. And thank you very much and best of luck. Thanks for joining us, Murray.
Cheers, Barry. See you soon.
Just like we were speaking before about Andy Holt and the Sunderland Till I Die, I think it's really interesting listening to Murray Toms. Obviously, he's high up in the Cheltenham scenario, so it was interesting to hear him. But I think one of the comments that I really picked out that he'd said was that Clark had given them belief that they can stay up. And I didn't realise, obviously I knew how bad the start of the season was, but I did a dive and they got 1 point in the first 10 games and no goals up to that point. They had no goals in the first 5 home games. But since Clark has come in, they've scored at least one in the 11 home games that have followed with 6 wins in that run. And they've lost just 3 at home under Clark with 4 clean sheets. So it shows just a turnaround at home that he's done. But then away from home as well, no home goals in the first 5 away games. But then 9 games that have since, they've failed to score in just 2 out of 9 away games. So he's turned it around home and away. And that's not something that you regularly see. But I think it's a testament to what Daryl Clark is, what his whole brand is. He's done it at other football clubs before, and whoever in Cheltenham decided that Clark was the guy to go for, I think they need some kind of award at the end of this season, because I wouldn't be surprised if they do keep him up. Because at home, they've beaten Cambridge, Oxford, Shrewsbury, Portsmouth, Blackpool and Port Vale. And away, they've beat Port Vale, Carlisle and Cambridge. So they've done a double over Port Vale and Cambridge. And then they've also drawn away at Portsmouth. They've got 4 points against Portsmouth, which is incredible. And Clark, obviously, a 38% win rate. But at the moment, they sit 21st with 9 wins, 5 draws and 17 losses. They've got 32 points from 31 games. If they win the games in hand, they can escape the drop. And in the last 5, they've beaten Port Vale 3-2. Cheltenham beat Blackpool 2-0. They won away at Cambridge 1-0. They lost to Wickham 3-1 and they lost to Derby 2-1. So it's been incredible for them. And their top goal scorer this season is Liam Sercombe, who got obviously the penalty against us last time out, got the brace against Pompey as well to win it. He's got 7 goals and 2 assists. And then Sean Long, the defender, he's got 2 goals, 2 assists. Both of his assists have been for Sercombe. And then obviously Matty Taylor, he's been here for 4 games, got 3 goals and 3 wins. So he's definitely turned their season around. But I'm excited to see the rest of the season for Cheltenham. I do think they will stay up. I think they've got that fight in them.
One thing Murray mentioned was, because I asked him about Daryl Clark, and he said, well, he's working with the same players, the players that ever said were no good. But then he told me he shipped 15 out and brought 10 in. So there is a bit of an overhaul taking place there, hasn't there? And also, the two teams directly above Cheltenham in the league, Charlton who took Alfie May off him in the summer, who was their talisman. And Shrewsbury took half the backroom staff and other people from the club off them. I bet they'd really love to leapfrog over those two sides for more reasons than one.
It's ridiculous, isn't it, the turnaround? I mean, the only other place you see turnarounds like that is with Martinez Wigan teams. And this lot haven't even waited for the clocks to go forward. I think they are going to escape. Like you say, Charlie, I mean, it took until October to score a goal. Not win a game, score a goal. It's ridiculous how bad the start was. Ridiculous turnaround.
I think it plays into the hands that Cambridge's manager, Neil Harris, has just left as well. So he's gone to Millwall, and that leaves Cambridge in a precarious position because they're not too far above the drop. And I think if Cheltenham win both their games in hand, they can actually go above Cambridge. So it pulls them right into it now.
What concerns me about this particular match is that fabulous stat that you've uncovered, Barry, that that Cheltenham haven't managed back-to-back away wins in 68 attempts. And that they've won the last match away at Cambridge 1-0. So does that just mean that they're not very good away? Or does it mean that that well-known charitable institution, Wigan Athletic, is going to do what it normally does and give them a boost where it's needed? Plus the fact they've never scored in Wigan. So, yeah, we know how this is going to go, don't we?
Right, well, it's going to be refereed by Hertfordshire official David Rock. And he's in his fifth season on the national list. Previously, D-Rock, as the kids know him, has taken charge of four Lattice games, the last time in October in our 2-0 win over Oxford at the DW Stadium. His card watch, David Rock, has taken charge of 28 games so far this season. He's issued 106 yellow cards, 7 red cards, and he has awarded 5 penalty kicks. And that's David Rock, who will referee the visit of Cheltenham on Friday night.
In terms of our previous record against Cheltenham, we've met them 5 times down the years. Perhaps unsurprisingly, they got into the league in 1998. Since then, you know, we spent a large part of the time in the upper divisions. So we've met them just that 5 times, and we've won twice and drawn 3 times. First meeting against them came at Wadden Road back in August 2002. Which was a 2-0 win to us, which got our promotion season under Paul Jewell up and running. And the last meeting came in November, which was a 1-1 draw, and Stevie Humphreys had his penalty saved in that game. So the 2 games played at the DW Stadium have ended once in a goalless draw and once in a 2-0 win for Latics, meaning we've yet to concede a goal on home turf against the Robins. So that leads us on to the predictions.
Well, Murray's gone for a 2-0 away win. He's feeling very confident. Stats are there to be dismissed. Records are there to be broken, he says. And they're in a really good vein of form. And the players are in a good place and feeling very confident. Well, let's see is what I say. Bring it on, Mr. Toms. Well, I'm going for a 2-0 and the goal scorers will be Matty Smith and Jordan Jones. I've written the headline already. I've just written it down here. At last, Smith and Jones. So I'm going for a 2-0 Latics win.
I'll split the difference. I'll go with a 1-0 home win. I was right last week with 1-0. Goal scorer was wrong. But I'll go with a 1-0 home win. Callum McManaman to score the winner again.
I thought I wasn't on the podcast to do a prediction last week, but I did think we would get a response on Saturday, which we did. I was very pleased with a 1-0 win. And I think that response will continue into this game. So despite my concern about previous results and how long it is since Cheltenham have had back-to-back away wins, I'm hopeful. I'm reasonably confident of a win, and I'll go for 2-1.
Team selections are obviously, big talking point. Maloney was really coy in it and his pre-match didn't give much away. So I hope we get to see Johnny Smith start it. But we're on our worst home run of the season after 2 back-to-back losses. And I don't think we're going to continue that really. So I think we'll win it, but I think it'll be a 2-1. I think it'll be a tight game though.
The full roundup of fixtures for Saturday is Cambridge United v Peterborough. Local derby down there in the southeast. Barnsley v Derby County, Blackpool and Bolton, Bristol Rovers Carlisle, Burton Northampton, Charlton Portsmouth, Exeter Fleetwood, Oxford Orient, Port Vale Lincoln. Big game for these two clubs, Reading v Shrewsbury, and then Stevenage and Wickham. Two interesting fixtures there. We'll be back on Sunday with all the reaction to Friday night's encounter with Cheltenham, and we'll be having a look ahead to Tuesday night when that lot from up the road are going to be in town. So until Sunday, just a reminder that it's Pendlebury's birthday today, so happy birthday, Pendles. Up the ticks and come on.
Up the ticks.
Up the ticks.
Come on.